You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Several of my Democrat colleagues have today, just today in this hearing, multiple times have compared parents who show up at school board meetings, like Mr. Smith here, have compared them to criminal rioters. You think that's right? You think that a parent who shows up at a school board meeting, who has a complaint, who wants to voice that complaint, and maybe she doesn't use exactly the right grammar, you think they're akin to criminal rioters? Do you agree with that?
I do not, and I do not remember any senator here making that comparison.
Oh, really? These people are just like the folks who came here on January 6th and the riot at the Capitol?
I don't think they were referring to the picture that you're showing there.
Well, I certainly would hope not, but they were referring to parents who go to school board meetings. Mr. Smith is a parent who went to a school board meeting. I'll leave it at this, General Garland. You have weaponized the FBI and the Department of Justice. Your U.S. attorneys are now collecting and cataloging all the ways that they might prosecute parents like Mr. Smith because they want to be involved in their children's education and they want to have a say in their elected officials. It's wrong. It is unprecedented, to my knowledge, in the history of this country. And I call on you to resign.
I call on you to resign. The words of Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, to Attorney General Garland today in a conference hearing, again, looking at how the Justice Department has been weaponized against anyone who does not simply bow down, roll over, and say yes, sir, no, sir, and be willing to kiss the shoes of those standing above them. This is September the 27th, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now. Enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. You'll open up and join us in studio. You can always get subscription to it so it will automatically show up for you. Cost you nothing. We do not share your information. And remember any program you missed for audio purposes, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and get podcasts later when they're posted. This exercise you're just listening to from Senator Hawley calling out Attorney General Garland goes all the way back to the letter that Garland drafted with the help of a National School Board Committee that was all upset, and the White House, I should add, all upset because parents were showing up, raising questions, and pushing back on critical race theory and transsexual teachings to third and second graders. Parents care about their children. And we are seeing more and more evidence that the government is trying to take control of your children and pit your children against you. It's already difficult enough raising a child. And now the government's going to step in and side with the child and come after you because you dare go to the school board and speak out? We're going to get into that story in more detail because what Senator Hawley brought out was a memo that the Attorney General says, I don't know anything about. I didn't say. He's such a mealy mouth. I didn't know. I don't know everything. You're damn right you don't know everything. You don't seem to know anything. So, yes, let's call for his resignation. In the meantime, late last night, Senate Democrat leadership released a proposed spending package that would keep the government funded through December 16. And, as usual, numerous garbage spending items. So today, in a letter to Republican colleagues, Texas Congressman Chip Roy explained how these current spending habits are, quote, fueling rampant inflation, funding the Biden administration's radical agenda. He wants to see it come to a halt. We'll be dealing with that. And what do you think is going to be a bigger issue for the upcoming election? Is it going to be the abortion issue, or is it going to be crime, violence running rampant throughout our nation? We're going to be joined by Cully Stimson, a heritage expert on crime. And when you hear him lay out the case, you'll clearly understand that crime will, quote, trump, no pun intended, any issue about abortion Hurricane Ian continuing to bear down on Florida. 300,000 under evacuation order. You might have heard at the top of the news there. They're now saying it appears it's going to be Venice, Florida. That would be south, about 70 miles south of Tampa, which means they might be spared some of the surge they were expecting, but it's still going to be dangerous around that area as well. We'll bring you up to speed on that story. And more Russian citizens being arrested. They're raging against Putin and what he's doing in Ukraine and drafting more people into the military. See, that's why they do it in Russia. They just grab you and put you in the gulag. I think that's what A.G. Garland would like to do also if you speak out at school board meetings. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It is now a major hurricane, Category 3 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of 125 miles per hour. Overnight and into this morning, some of the modeling that has been done is now projecting a landfall south of Tampa Bay. I know we've talked about the cone of uncertainty where the landfall was projected. We had it in North Florida just a couple days ago. That's consistently been moved more east into the Florida Peninsula. Yesterday evening, there were a lot of solutions bringing it right into Tampa Bay. Now you have a lot of solutions bringing the landfall into the Sarasota area. There's certain things we can protect against in terms of the wind and the structures, and we've got great building codes. But when you have 5 to 10 feet of storm surge, that is not something that you want to be a part of. And Mother Nature is a very fearsome adversary. So please heed those warnings.
That was, sir, the statements earlier today of Governor DeSantis of Florida as to what they were expecting from Hurricane Ian. And the latest word is, as you heard at the top of the news, that now they've recentered landfall, possibly at Venice, Florida. Again, this is on the western side of Florida in the Gulf of Mexico region. Venice is about 70-plus miles south of Tampa Bay and a little south, obviously, of Sarasota, which he was also discussing might be a target. Now, keep in mind, there seem to be no great steering winds on this thing to redirect it any deeper than what we're getting at the latest report, but it could certainly change. And for some folks, they always take the attitude that, well, if it's not coming into my city directly, I should be okay. Not necessarily true. And it's not just a storm surge all along the coastline of Florida on the western edge in the Gulf, but also the winds. And as you heard the governor say, the winds, you probably can have everything hold up against that, but the storm surge, that's water coming in that you didn't expect. And then on top of that, You've got tornadoes spawning from hurricanes. I've covered, maybe a dozen through all my years in broadcasting. I've been on watch for several that never really materialized, and I'm telling you that, for the most part, folks are still never really prepared. They just don't believe it's going to be that bad. You have to keep in mind, if they lose power in that region of Florida, they could be out 4, 5, 7 days. Now, they'll get some restored, and those who have generators, that'll be fine. But again, if you don't have enough gas to put in your generator, and you go to a service station, they don't have power, you're not going to be able to get gas from that pump. And then there's the issue with water. Folks are probably storing up as much water as they have available at this point. And then you got to make sure that you're going to be able to hopefully get additional water. Ice being another item, a lot of fridge and freezer items are going to be lost. And for a lot of folks right now, when they're already struggling with the economy, this is a perfect storm of bad timing. Here's a report from Channel 10 earlier today in Florida about, again, reminding folks about the real threat is not just the hurricane.
Here's a look at the heart of Key West earlier this morning. Our Roy Ramos sending us this video of Duval Street, which is normally, of course, teeming with crowds. Looking more like a ghost town this morning. Many businesses lining their doors with sandbags.
And here's the latest track for Hurricane Ian, now a monster Category 3 storm. Florida's western Gulf Coast bracing for a direct hit with evacuation orders in effect for the entire Tampa Bay area, including Hillsborough and Pinellas counties, as well as Pasco County.
The National Weather Service has issued, as you can see behind me, a tornado watch. This is very important for our viewers to understand because these outer bands of Hurricane Ian, very heavy rainfall, the outer bands are related to bringing in the vorticity that wraps around the center of what is a major hurricane.
So keep in mind, that was from earlier this morning, and the conditions continue to change. They now, as I say, again, from the very latest, expect landfall around Venice, Florida. Timing is still open at this point. But, of course, the circular extension is going to wrap lower Florida and western and even into eastern Florida before the eye actually goes ashore. The eye appears to be, I'm looking at some of the latest satellite image, it was pretty tight, growing smaller, and now it I'm looking at the latest, it might have collapsed, which means it might begin to lose some strength. But don't take what I say as a fact. If you're talking to friends and relatives down there, you advise them to take care and be aware of what's happening. All right, let me change subjects for you. You know, of course, the latest from Russia-Ukraine is that Vladimir Putin decided to mobilize 300,000 additional troops. The 150,000 or so in Ukraine have not really had any relief. They've been there since the day one, and they're battle fatigued. If they're not dealing with various illnesses and injuries that they've already suffered, supply lines were not very clear as to how much they're actually getting in. A lot of folks are not sure, is Russia winning or not? Reports from Ukraine is that they have taken back several pieces of territory that the Russians had taken over. And, of course, that was in part due to additional equipment being sent in by the U.S. and allies. We were very careful about how we sent equipment in because we waited too late to send it. We didn't want to actually send it directly from us once the war started because it looked like we're trying to expand and agitate the situation. So we used third parties to kind of get it in. But the other issue that has come up, and I've been looking for additional documentation on this, it may be only a third of the equipment that we and others, and that includes ammunition, have been sending into Ukraine has actually made it into Ukraine. Where the hell's the rest of it? There's going to be a lot of questions when this is all over. Where the hell is all this money that we've been dumping in there? And we are sending another lot of money going in to help provide, quote, policing in Ukraine when this is over, while our own police officers are struggling to meet, one, their family's needs, two, to be able to do the job in the street, not worry about their family's needs, and we're just continued dumping money into Ukraine. I'm telling you, I have a real issue with that. I want to support Ukraine, and I know the citizens. I want to see them support, but I don't know how much of this stuff is being pilfered or going in the wrong direction, and I don't know if there's any real oversight on it. But the issue for Putin, apparently, is that he's got citizens that are riling up and protesting. There have been numerous reports of citizens being arrested. I remind you, this is what should make the U.S. stand out as a beacon to others, which you would recognize and most Americans recognize. And I would imagine even Brittany Griner would recognize now that she's been in a Russian jail all this time. Your freedom is paramount in this nation. You are allowed to speak out and even hold protest. Peaceable assembly under the Constitution is allowed. There are no reports that folks in Russia have gotten violent, but the very fact that they're protesting and raising their voices against the leadership, that's enough to get them arrested. And once the troops or the forces move in, well, then that's where the violence might break out. I want you to hear a report from NBC, I think it was, on, or maybe MSNBC, on how the citizens have been protesting, why, and the reaction.
A sense of crisis brewing for the Kremlin. Anger spilling over towards Russia's new military draft, with Putin's war in Ukraine failing. Protesters facing down the police in the Russian Republic of Dagestan. Police officers firing warning shots in the air, attempting to disperse an angry crowd. Women outraged their men are being drafted, questioning the police what the war is for. The chaos in Dagestan clear in these videos circulating online. And in St. Petersburg, officers seen kicking a protester in the head. Human rights activists saying more than 2,300 people have been arrested in 35 cities across Russia in recent days. Long lines at Russia's border with Georgia as huge numbers of Russian men flee the country to avoid the draft. And with Putin increasingly in a corner, the US vowing to respond if Russia uses nuclear weapons in Ukraine.
We have communicated directly, privately, to the Russians at very high levels that there will be catastrophic consequences for Russia if they use nuclear weapons in Ukraine.
That is Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor. Let's deal with that issue for a moment, because with Putin suggesting he might be willing to resort to nuclear weapons, as he's recently suggested, that was last week. Biden administration officials have said they are taking the comment seriously, but they also want to make sure they don't engage in additional rhetoric that will begin to exasperate the issue. The Kremlin announcement did also detail aggressive new steps to try to turn the war in Ukraine back in Moscow's favor. Now, that has apparently U.S. officials caught between a bleak set of options. This is according to a presentation written by The Hill. And the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, you just heard, has also communicated, or stated, we've communicated to Russians what the consequences would be. You just heard that. He said, I want to know them to know that we're serious about it. Well, Putin, in return, had said, I want to remind you our country also has various means of destruction. Some components are more modern than those of the NATO countries. The Secretary of State Blinken Sunday, in an interview broadcast, said that Putin was using irresponsible rhetoric. The White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, the expert that she is, yesterday refused to get into what the potential response would be if Russia did use nuclear weapons, and that's probably just as well she does not add any remarks. But also yesterday, a Russian spokesman confirmed that Moscow was in contact with Washington on nuclear issues, but it was a very sporadic dialogue. He said there are channels of interaction between the Russian Federation and the U.S. They are very sporadic, but they allow you to bring emergency messages about each other's position. So then there's a question that what would Putin use? Would it be tactical nuclear weapons, also known as non-strategic, which are meant to win a battle, not necessarily to end a war, like we did with an atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? But the other issue involves the fact that nuclear technology has advanced greatly with Russia and the U.S. We all have weapons in our arsenals that could do more damage than the bombs used nearly 80 years ago. And then, of course, we also have to see if Putin gives any respect to our nation and President Biden. And China is sitting on the sideline as well, waiting to see how this plays out. But this conscript of drafting and pulling in, they say, Putin said, we're only really going to take those who have previously served in the military, and even then they're going to have to be retrained. Well, there are numerous stories coming out about how, and this happened during World War II, right after Pearl Harbor, folks, young men going out to war, but before they left, they made sure they got married to their spouse, hopefully forever, and hopefully they'd come back from the war. That's happening also in Russia, as citizens are being forced back into the military if they've served previously. There's also another issue that's happening, and we're not sure how this, if it does involve sabotage or just some kind of issue beyond that, and that is that there are mystery leaks hitting some of the undersea gas pipelines from Russia. This obviously would cause concerns of environmental hazard, but aside from that, why are the leaks suddenly in the Baltic Sea near Sweden and Denmark? Coming up, name calling again.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We expect people who live in this country to play by the rules. We expect that those who cut the line will not be unfairly rewarded. Even as we are a nation of immigrants, we're also a nation of laws. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws, and I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous. That's why over the past 6 years, deportations of criminals are up 80%. And that's why we're going to keep focusing enforcement resources on actual threats to our security. If you're a criminal, you'll be deported. If you plan to enter the U.S. illegally, your chances of getting caught and sent back just went up.
That was President Obama addressing the nation November 2014. You could hear that he is going to say, and did say, that we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. Bill Clinton had said the same thing when he was president. But the latest from Obama is being used once again as an opportunity to pull the race card. If you recall, when Trump was trying to stop the illegals from coming in and start shutting down the border, everybody started saying, well, are you afraid of brown people? Well, from a speech at a Hispanic Realtors about 2 days ago in San Diego, Obama is being quoted by the San Diego Union Tribune saying, right now the biggest fuel behind the Republican agenda is related to immigration and the fear that somehow America's character is going to be changed if people of darker shades, there are too many of them. He said, I wish I could be more euphemistic about it, except they're not that subtle about it. They're just kind of saying it. You hear it on hard right media. Where do you hear it on hard right media that you're afraid of people of darker shades? He said, you're going to hear it on hard right media. You hear it from candidates and politicians. You hear things like great replacement theory. I mean, this is not subtle. Again, these are the words of Obama as quoted by the San Diego Union Tribune. He said, unless we're able to return to a more inclusive vision inside the Republican Party, it's going to be hard to get a bill done. He's talking about an immigration bill. So he's ignoring the fact that along the southern border of Texas, in three strong Democrat counties, Latino women ran as Republicans and got elected. One anyway, and others are still in the running. One is already in Congress. I don't see Republicans turning from Latinos. They're trying to embrace them and pull them in, not just for the vote, but for the fact that they're Americans, if they're here legally. And the Latinos along the border are also upset with illegal entry because they end up paying a price for it as well, either loss of their job because somebody is willing to come in and do it cheaper, or they get caught in the midst of crime that some of them bring with them. When you don't have anything else, pull the race card. I guess that's what Obama's trying to do again here. In the meantime, New York Mayor Eric Adams says, we're going to need help paying for all the illegals up here, the thousands of foreign workers and renters that we're helping provide New York business leaders. We're going to need $500 million, $500 million. So the city asking the White House privately for that emergency cash midway through the summer, and then now saying, well, even that will only going to cover 1 year's worth of spending. The Post just breaking this story because, as I said, it was done secretly. But it comes as House Democrat legislators are pleading for another $500 million for New York City and other safe haven cities because they're seeing that more illegals are being shipped into the blue city sanctuary states. We're going to need money. Did you hear them offering or saying we need to send money down to Texas counties and Arizona counties and Florida counties where they're being inundated by 100,000 plus crossing weekly? No, I don't think you heard that. What's going to be the big issue for you coming up and for most of Americans here this November? Is it just one issue? If so, is it going to be abortion? Or is it going to be crime? You want to hear the next expert? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest has been on with us before. He and his colleague at Heritage, Zach Smith, have done extensive work on rogue prosecutors put in place by George Soros across the nation, which has certainly fueled our crime across the nation. And now the question comes as we move into November and then 2 years hence for the presidential election, the issue of crime versus the issue of abortion. Now, a lot of folks, if they're one issue oriented, it doesn't make a difference what we're going to say in the next few minutes. They're only locked into the abortion issue is it for me. And generally, that's going to be those who want to see it made, quote, law of the land again. Here's my guest, Cully Stimson, Charles Cully Stimson, widely recognized policy expert in crime control, national security. Cully, glad to have you back on board again.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, when it comes down to the issue that's going to be dominating, you have obviously believe and have reason to believe that Americans are going to be more concerned about crime. Give me a thumbnail sketch of that to begin with.
Well, that's what also the polls are showing, so it doesn't really matter what I think. And I think
point.
The real reason, frankly, is because, you know, some people wake up every day and think about abortion, whether you're for it or against it, and that's their right to do that in this country. But the vast majority of people who wake up, especially those in the inner city, they got to deal with more practical things like crime and whether they can get to work safely, whether they can cross the street safely, whether they can ride the subway safely, whether they can go to a store and not be accosted by drug addicts or violent other thugs. And so it makes sense that people in their day-to-day living their lives are going to be more concerned with rising crime rates, because they are rising in many, many cities across the country. Not all of them, but the ones where you have that toxic trio of rogue prosecutors funded by Soros, the defund the police zealots, and the demoralize the police legislators who talk down the police, but now all of a sudden when the election time comes around, they act like they didn't do it.
Yeah,
and that's why people are more concerned about it.
Yeah, that narrative has changed, hasn't it? It's softened considerably about defund police. It just... don't discuss it right now, or only in whispers.
Yeah, well, you know, if it wasn't for double standards, some folks wouldn't have any standards at all, and they're going to say defund the police when it's politically convenient and expedient, but of course, they realize that even, especially inner-city folks who tend to vote Democrat, and that's their right, they want a crime-free city. They actually want more police on the streets, not less. Now, they want police that are honest and the police that they know and the police they can trust. But if you go to, you know, very, very poor parts of town, minority parts of town, other parts of town, and I've been a prosecutor, as you know, in the inner city doing homicides. Folks there, they're God-fearing, church-going, hard-working folks, and they want more police. And so these rogue prosecutors' policies, these defund the police zealots on legislatures, their policies, when enacted, harm the very people they pretend to care the most about. So that's why crime is on their mind every day.
Well, the other thing is they continue, the if they're paying attention at all, they continue to see and hear and read stories of mass groups storming into a store and just demolishing it, grabbing what they want and running out. Or they see one of the more recent videos I've seen of a homeless man trying to talk to a woman on a subway in New York, and she doesn't want to respond to him. When she gets off, he goes after her and attacks her and beats the hell out of her just because she wouldn't talk to him. And another guy starts to come in and interrupt, but he realizes the man is too big, and so he runs away. I have a hard problem with him doing that. But it's all around them. Even if it doesn't hit them directly, they can't ignore the fact that it's there.
That's right. And in that particular video that you're talking about, that man had been convicted of murder many years ago, served not a long enough sentence, obviously,
yeah,
and has a long criminal record. He should not be out on the streets, period, but for these soft-on-crime rogue prosecutors' policies, which honestly, in a very perverted way, treat criminals as victims, treat the police as the enemy, and ignore real victims of crime. It's upside down, and the people are starting to, folks are starting to realize that this just doesn't work, and it actually is really harmful.
Well, you're obviously aware of the Illinois law that goes into effect January 1, which basically mm-hmm. says no bail, even for second-degree murder or kidnapping, things of that nature, and folks have to be worried, and not just those who live in Illinois, but anyone who has business going in and out of there, or relatives, or just traveling through Illinois.
Yeah, you can't make some of these things up, Larry. So when you hear a legislative act called something that makes you go, huh, it usually is the opposite.
Oh, the Safety
the
Act. Yeah, the Safety
so this
Act.
It's called the Safety Act. It's an acronym.
Yeah.
And they've had a pretty lax bail policy in the state prior to this even more radical act. And, of course, what you've seen in Chicago under the leadership of Kim Fox, who was the first Soros bought and paid for rogue prosecutor installed into office in 2015, which we talk about in our upcoming book that Zach Smith and I have written, is you know, you have prosecutors who refuse to prosecute felonies and what do they do down to misdemeanors. They don't ask for long jail sentences. They refuse to prosecute any misdemeanors. They don't hold recidivists to account. And here's the real irony. The very folks that decry the so-called gun culture and gun violence don't jack up people who are arrested with illegal guns and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. Why? Because some of them are minorities, and that would be seen as racist. Kim Fox, by the way, is black. And so this whole narrative is a charade about gun violence because they're not even prosecuting convicted felons who are in possession, illegally, by the way, of guns.
And minority communities, as you said earlier, they've also seen that if you defund the police, we're the first ones to be targeted. And yet, in the meantime, folks like Congresswoman Cori Bush, she makes sure she has a personal security staff around her all the time.
Oh, yeah. And then you have another real winner down in St. Louis named Kim Gardner, who is another bought and paid for Soros rogue prosecutor. And she, like her sister prosecutor in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosby, and Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, have been on these boondoggles paid for by Fair and Just Prosecution, which is a Soros front group, to Africa and Europe and Portugal and all sorts of other places to learn about their criminal justice systems, when in fact there's really nothing to learn.
I
was stationed in Europe. I know about those systems. Yeah, we can talk to them, but focus on your home turf. And they've gotten in trouble for being absentee DAs because they've been out of the office so much.
I want to ask you something else, and I know you've got a full plate. I don't know how much background you have on this, but it's not just the policing we do have and we carry out, but also the look at how the government is using police and are weaponizing FBI, AG's office, and so forth to go after anyone, be it citizens protesting or raising questions at a school board meeting. But I'm also looking at the case involving in California a company called U.S. Private Vaults, where they pled guilty to conspiracy to launder drug money. And the FBI went in and seized money out of something, hundreds of bank deposit boxes. That kind of thing. And then had to make the citizens prove that they got that money legally, that they put it in the box and it was legal. Does that also work to the advantage of Soros and these prosecutors?
Well, if it does, I'm not aware of it. What you're referring to generally is what's called civil asset forfeiture laws. And we need a strong, lawful, well-funded, well-trained FBI. So I don't subscribe, nor does anybody at Heritage subscribe to the idea that we should defund the FBI. Of course, we should not defund the police. We need well-funded, well-trained, honest, ethical officers in the FBI and in the 18,000 police departments across the country. But civil asset forfeiture is an interesting issue because it really divides conservatives and libertarians and liberals and creates weird coalitions. That's essentially a situation where a law enforcement agency arrests somebody. They seize what they believe to be assets associated with the defendant that could be fruits of the crime or benefits of the fruits of the crime. They hold on to those assets even during the disposition of the case. And even if the case goes away, doesn't result in a conviction, the government in some instances says that it can continue to hold on to that property. Now, that rubs a lot of people the wrong way, rubs me the wrong way. In certain circumstances, if they're a drug dealer and they're not convicted, well, then what right does the government have to their property? But there's ongoing debate about civil asset forfeiture.
All right, Cully, as always, we appreciate it, and thank you for your input on that case. Going on to inform the audience more about it coming up in the next segment. Cully Stimson with the Heritage Foundation. Thank you again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, when we return, folks, we will discuss that case in California. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli C will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli C, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
1, 2, 3, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, let me break down the story we were discussing with Cully Stimson a moment ago. And this is involving a story that actually started in March of 2021. And, of course, the investigation prior to that. But in March of 2021, the FBI and other federal agents went into the U.S. Private Vaults Company and raided it and seized more than $86 million in cash they found in those vaults. Cash, jewelry, gold, 1,400 safe deposit box. This is a Beverly Hills company, and lawyers representing a group of deposit box owners claim that you took that illegally. You shouldn't have done it. Well, a year after the raid, this last March, the company itself pled guilty to conspiracy to launder drug money. So, obviously, the agents had reason to suspect something wrong was going on. But these individual box holders that had put cash into deposit boxes to keep it safe and or other items, they lost control of them. This piece by Avita Duffy for the Federalist quotes the Los Angeles Magazine saying federal agents mishandled personal belongings of box holders, made video, photo records of customers' most sensitive documents, pay stubs, password list, credit cards, prenup agreement, immigration, vaccination records, bank statements, a will, all of this going into the government databases. And apparently also found cremated human remains of apparently someone who had been legally cremated. But what they also did in the process, a lot of folks saying, why are they doing this? One couple said, we put materials in that safe deposit box because we're in a fire-prone area and we don't want to lose some of the most important belongings if we have a fire evacuation. We can't get out with everything. So they are among those who filed a lawsuit. The FBI apparently, in June 2021, 3 months after the raid, got a judge to issue a temporary restraining order stopping the FBI attempt, or rather the class action suit stopping the FBI attempt to keep the property it seized from about 360 of the safe deposit boxes because investigators hadn't proved that there were any crimes committed. You know what the basis they did for taking that? They brought in a drug-sniffing dog, and it hit on a couple of boxes that had a lot of cash in it. In one case, $154,000, $330,000 another. Now, that may or may not be legal money. I'm not here to tell you it was or it wasn't, but there's no proof it was illegal other than the drug dog sniffed cocaine or something of that nature on it. Now, if you are out shopping and you buy anything or you go to the bank and you get several $100 bills, you have to understand that that money might have been dropped by someone else earlier or from some business. You might well be carrying around money that's going to alert a dog sniffing for drugs of some type. A couple of other vaults were being used by licensed marijuana sellers, and they said that scent could have spread from any of the cash in the bank where the government was storing all of its confiscated bonanza. In other words, all the money that they took out, they could have inadvertently mixed the money and the scent together. One case, the prosecutors are accusing the owner of the box holding $900,000. I'll guarantee you that's a lot of money to put in a box, right? Either being a top-level drug trafficker or laundering money. Why? Because he had all of his cash in assorted rubber bands, tape-wrapped paper, bank bands, and shopping bags. Did he make it legally? I don't know. But when they seize this, then they will try to hold on to it as long as possible. And if that's money you need, you're going to have a hell of a time getting it back in some cases. Let me give you an example of another one. There was an unemployed chef that he had $57,000 in cash in one of those vaults, $57,000. And they said, you're an unemployed chef. There's no way you could have legally saved that kind of money. Come on, man. Well, apparently he's able to prove, yeah, he did. And he apparently had a way to prove that that was my cash. I earned it and I saved it. I put it aside. So these are people, in some cases, that are simply either looking to keep their money from going directly in the bank because maybe they fear the bank might go under and they just want to have cash handy where they wouldn't have to go to the bank, draw it out, and they put it in this Beverly Hills vault company. And it turns out that the vault company did plead guilty to laundering money, so there was reason for the FBI agents to be inspecting and looking at it anyway, but unfortunately a lot of innocent people apparently got grabbed up in that. And they're still trying to sort it out. That's asset collection and forfeiture if they can prove that it was gained illegally. But that presumes you're guilty to begin with, doesn't it? Which brings us to our segment coming up in the next hour. The Attorney General weaponizing his department to basically say that if you're a parent and you go to a school board meeting, you might be a terrorist. Here's your sign. You might be a terrorist. Is that kind of the way it plays out? Well, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri says, we're done with that game plan. That's one of the stories coming up in the next hour. And, of course, an update on Hurricane Ian coming up at the top of the news here. And we'll update it again at the end of the second hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.